It's not like any other podcast, coming to you straight from the heartland, where investing is told like it is. It's time for Darren Garman's Paranoid Banker Podcast. Hold on, because here comes the next episode of the Paranoid Banker Podcast.
Well, hey there, Darren Garman here, and welcome to this week's Paranoid Banker Podcast. I'm looking forward to going over the information with you today that I'm going to be presenting on this podcast, and last week, I talked about the most important question that you should be asking as an investor. And we went over a couple of other questions that need to be asked as well, if you'll recall. But what I'm talking about now, what I was talking about then, was the most important one. The one you just have to. Out of all of them, here's like the one you've got to ask. And we went over that. And I got a lot of good feedback from you guys. Thank you so much for getting back and getting back to me with your thoughts on that podcast and the subject matter. It was good stuff, really, really good stuff. So thanks again for all of you that have gotten back to me on that. Good to hear from you and good to have some dialogue with you too, by the way. Interesting points here and there, but good to have you get back to me and communicate with me. And I think it's important for that that communication, that back and forth, so to speak, to happen. So let's jump into the top five mistakes most people make when investing in real estate. We're going to talk about that. And so I've been involved in the investment real estate business for a long time, also as an investor for a long time, not just somebody sitting on the sidelines watching people invest in real estate. I've been involved in hundreds of millions of dollars of investment real estate projects over the years. And so what I'm going to be talking about here with what I would call the top five mistakes that most people make when investing in real estate, they're going to be somewhat general. I could get real specific and really get into the weeds on some things, but I'm not going to do that. We're going to stay somewhat generic to the topic of just investing in real estate. I might go off on a tangent here or there, you know, that might go a little bit deeper than what we're looking for, but I'll try to catch myself and hold back. And with that said, let's go into the first one. And by the way, these are not ordered in, there's not like number one's most important, number five is least important. So there's really no method to the order of what I'm going to be going over with you. During some of these, I will point out how important I think they are. But number one isn't necessarily the most important, number two, the second most, etc. Okay. And so let's go over the first mistake that most people make when investing in real estate. And that is, they don't invest in real estate. What do you mean, Darren? Well, they make the mistake that they have to do all of it themselves and do all of the work, the research, the educational stuff they would need to do in order to be as educated as they can to feel, not unlike getting involved in any kind of investment that you didn't know anything about, to be able to make a good investment choice, right? So when it comes to real estate, you've got to understand and know, a bookload of things in order to really feel comfortable about investing in real estate. And a lot of people have unfortunately tie it to property management. So a lot of people think they've got to be a good maintenance and repair person. They need to know how to fix toilets and furnaces and air conditioners and pipes and plumbing and windows and et cetera, carpet. I could go on and on. You get the point. A lot of people think that's the case. So then they think about the time, effort, and energy that it's going to take for them to not only make sure they make a good property choice, in other words, location, property type, construction, age, income, expenses, et cetera, okay? Not only that, but then you've got all of the tax and legal things too, right? So do I need an accountant? Do I need to start my own LLC? I've got to maybe get a lawyer involved to start my own company. Do you see why after about not even 5 minutes of this kind of thinking, most people are like, oh, I don't think I'm going to do this. It's not a surprise because it's a lot of work and it's a lot of time. And it's a lot of work and time for most people on something they're not really familiar with. Now, most of us are familiar with, of course, maybe renting our own apartment or house at some point in time. Many people own their own home or maybe even more than one home. But when it comes to being a asset, property asset and manager and property manager, let's just use those two terms broadly, and all of the things that are required to do those well, most people think about it, consider it, and decide that their CD at their credit union is a much better choice. That's what happens. And I think that's a mistake because there are plenty of ways to get involved as an owner. And I'm talking as an active owner, okay, an active owner of a good real estate property or properties without having to go through, I'll call it, all of that educational stuff. There are plenty of ways to invest in real estate. And I'm not going to use this podcast to go over all of them. I'll just use the example of the investments that I provide investors to get involved in, which are really, if you boil it down, it's really two kind of investments. One is my our Heartland Flagship Fund. So we have a fund that owns pretty close to $40 million in real estate properties that investors can get involved in and own as an active owner. Right. So the good news is all of my partners, all of them have no management responsibilities. They don't need to know anything about real estate or investment real estate. They don't need to lift one finger to find any kind of resource for them to know what to do or how to do something. Okay. So it's just like investing in a passive real estate investment, but getting all of the active benefits as if you oversaw the operations day after day after day, right? So that's my example. The other one is single property purchases. So I will put together partnerships during the year where we'll buy, say, a 72-unit property, okay? So maybe it's 10 investors and myself. We buy a 72-unit property. Do you think those 10 investors are dealing with property management, tax returns, and legal issues? No, they're not. Okay, but they get all of the benefits from the properties as if they were, right? So either owning their own property with me or maybe being involved in a fund and own many different properties at one time. So that's just an example, but it's a good example to give you an idea of possibilities. So you don't necessarily have to pick up the phone, contact a real estate broker or agent, have them show you a whole bunch of apartment buildings, buy one, and hope it all works out in order to be in the real estate business. Not even close. And not surprisingly, most people prefer the previous way that I described, not what I just mentioned. Okay, so that's number one. People just don't get involved in it because they just think it's going to be too much work, too much time, too much energy, and you're almost exhausted thinking about all the stuff you need to know and need to do. So many people choose not to do it, and that does not have to be the case. And that's a good segue into number two, and that's management. Most people think that when they buy investment real estate, either when they own it and they've decided to get in the real estate business, or as a reason not to own it, it's actually two. I'm kind of going two pathways into mistake number two, and that's management. You know if you would be a good property manager or not right away. Okay, and many people are good at it and can do a good job, excel at it, and manage a property so it continues to grow in value, grow in income, and continue to be a really good asset. Many people, it's not a good thing for them. They're not good at it. And property management, folks, is just like anything else. We're all good at a whole bunch of things, And we're all bad at a whole bunch of things. And so those people that excel at property management, good for them. But if you don't excel at property management and you manage your own properties, you could turn a real profitable property into one that is, let's just say, not so profitable, i.e. that loses money, which you don't want to have happen, because you're just not a very good manager. So what's the solution? The solution is, if you don't think you would be a good manager, nor maybe you're managing your own properties now, and you don't think you're doing a good job, find somebody professionally to manage them. That's really it. Find a professional management company, and you still can manage, but now you're managing who? That's right, you're managing the property management company. Okay, so with some holdings that I have right now, we don't manage some holdings that we have right now. I have a management company that manages those holdings. And there's a long list of reasons why I have this management company managing these particular apartment properties. But the bottom line is, they would right now do a better job at it than I would. All right? So why not manage them as they manage the day-to-day cares of life of the property instead of me managing all of that? Right? And the main reason is, yeah, heck, it's less work, it's less time, it's less energy, but the main reason is they just do a better job than I do with the particular properties I'm talking about right now. Right? So if you are thinking that property management is the reason to not invest in and own any investment real estate, or when you get involved in the investment real estate business, or if you own investment real estate yourself and you are somehow in that, you're wearing a manager's hat, somehow you're wearing it, and you don't think you're doing a good job, get professional management involved. Okay. And by the way, just two quick things. Yes, they won't do as good of a job as you think you would if you managed the property. You've got to emotionally get over that. Okay, they're not going to clean the windows three times a month like you would. Okay, they're not going to mow the lawn four times a month like you would. They're not going to walk the property and pick up all the garbage three times a day like you would. I mean, those are just some quick examples, but you just have to get over that. And understand that it's big picture management. It's not small items that don't really matter that much at the end of the day. So it becomes full circle. Management. You don't have to do it yourself, nor if you're that good at it, should you be doing it yourself. Okay? All right, so that's number two, is management. Let's get into number three. And I think this could be the most important mistake I see investors make. And that is signing personal loan guarantees. Signing personal loan guarantees. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about when I say personal loan guarantees. Many of you have no clue what I'm talking about when I say that. And some of you may know based on maybe not so good experience when I mention personal loan guarantees. So for those of you that don't know what a personal loan guarantee is, let's talk about what that is. When you borrow money from a bank or a credit union, okay, and it can be to own real estate, or it can be to buy a business, it can be for almost anything. But let's keep it in the world of real estate for now, shall we? When you borrow money to buy real estate property, the bank or the credit union, they're going to loan you the money, let's just assume. But at the closing, they're going to have you sign a document that they probably won't even mention to you during the entire process of getting this loan teed up and put together. So from the first day you meet with Mr. or Mrs. Loan Officer or Senior Vice President Lender, meet you, they get to know you better, maybe you go out to lunch a few times, They get your financial information. They get to dig into your financial picture a little bit so they know who you are and how qualified you would be and how comfortable they would be loaning money to you all the way through. I found a property, Bill. You call Bill at Bill's Bank and Trust. Bill, I found a property. Ready to buy it. Let's get a loan on it. Bill says, okay, come on in. Let's get it done. So I'm fast forwarding a lot there. So during all that time, this will more than likely never get mentioned. So that's why I'm mentioning it to you right now. The only time you'll see it typically is at the closing table. So you're at the closing table and you're signing paperwork fast and furious, closing statements, loan documents, all that. And then this piece of paper is going to be put in front of you called a personal guarantee. The personal guarantee is a contract that you're going to sign with the lender that basically says this. It says, in the event we have to repossess the property from you, it goes into foreclosure, heaven forbid. In the event we repossess the property from you, we turn around and sell the property ourselves, let's say as a bank repossession. And we do not get the amount of money that would be enough to cover the amount of loan that you owe us. We're going after you legally and personally for the difference. Okay, so let's use an example. Let's say you buy $1 million property and you get a $750,000 loan from the credit union. Okay? 3 years go by and for whatever reason, property goes into foreclosure. Let's say at this point in time you owe $700,000 to the credit union. Property goes into foreclosure. They repossess it from you and then they turn around and they sell it as a credit union repo or bank repo, however you want to describe it. Let's say they only sell it for $550,000, okay? Well, you owed them $700. They only sold it once they repossessed it from you for $550. What's the difference? That's right, $150,000. Guess whose door they're going to be knocking on to get that $150,000? That's right, you. And by the way, they can legally do anything they want to get that money. They can put liens on properties. They can find out where all your bank accounts are. They can go through the process of collecting that money because you signed an agreement that allows them to do that. Of course, at the time, everything's great. You know, all that can't happen. That won't happen. It could. So, you want to avoid personal guarantees as much as you possibly can. Now, am I saying absolutely don't ever, ever, ever entertain a personal guarantee? The answer is no. There may be some situations where you would want to do that. However, 99% of the time, you want to avoid signing any personal loan guarantees that puts your other assets at risk in the event things don't go the way that you have planned. Okay? All right. Number four. Here's a big one that not a lot of people would even think would be a big mistake. And that's not buying a big enough property or investing in a big enough venture. That's a big one. I can tell you, most of the investors that I've worked with over the last 25, 26 years, that have been successful will almost to the person tell me this. When I started, I should have bought a bigger property. When I started, I should have invested more. When I started, I should have gone in bigger than what I went in. Right? So I still deal a lot with individual property investors. Now, say they come to me and they want me to assist them in buying an investment property. So let's say somebody wants to buy a 12-unit property. A lot of times they'll come to me and say, hey, Darren, can you help me buy a 12-unit property? And we'll get them going and we'll get them into a 12-unit property that they can own. Here's what will happen. a year or two later, I'll be talking to them. Here's what they'll say to me. You know, I know the 12-unit property's worked out good, but I should have bought a 24-unit property, right? Or I should have bought a 16-unit property. Same goes with passive investments like our funds or individual properties that people invest in. You know, should have invested $50,000 instead of $25,000. I should have invested $200,000 instead of $100,000. I get that all the time. Okay, so sure, it makes sense to get your toe wet a little bit, dip your toe in the water. So if it's new to you and you're really unsure, you really want to give it a shot, but you're just, you know, you're just nervous about it, no problem. Yeah, but don't wait too long. Don't wait too long, because most of the successful investors I've been involved in, if they had one regret, it would be they didn't get in big enough and soon enough to get to where they really wanted to be, knowing what they know now. Okay? All right, so that's number four. Oh my goodness, we're already on number five. Number five is not going to be a surprise to anybody. And I'll just make it as simple as I can. And that's not investing in or buying apartments. If there's something I firmly believe, and I've pretty much stuck my neck out there behind what I'm telling, and I have been getting, I guess, my crystal ball out, and so to speak, and telling people where I think things are headed. And I firmly believe, based on everything that I'm seeing, not only in the investment real estate world, but the property management world, that apartments are the place to be. And in the future, they will more really be the place to be. And I'm telling my partners over and over again, they're tired of hearing it from me. They're tired of me. I'm beating them over the head with this. Not literally, of course, but you know, they get enough emails and newsletters and communications from me where they're like, okay, Darren, we get it. Just shut up. That's pretty much, I think, what most of them, if they haven't told me that, they've thought that. And it's, you got to be owning more apartments. You got to be buying more apartments. You've got to be in this more. If not, you're going to regret not being an owner of apartments. And so mistake number five is not owning apartment properties. A lot of people think that single family homes, for example, is the place to be. I totally disagree for a long list of reasons. And I'm not going to spend this podcast in comparing single family versus apartments. I have previous podcasts where I've talked about this, and I invite you to check those out where I compare single family homes to apartment properties and where people should be investing their money. Check that out. But I don't think single family homes is a place to be. I don't think office buildings are the place to be. Okay. And there are two or three other kinds of investment properties that a lot of people talk about and banter them about in terms of being involved in them, and they're not apartments. And I'm saying you really have to be in the apartment business. As a passive investor, as an active investor, you need to own some apartments. The demand for tenants living in apartments, the demand for investors, either individual or institutional, to continue wanting to buy and own apartments is going to continue to grow at an exponential rate over the next 5 years. It's just going to happen. You need to be involved in that, my opinion. And so own some apartments. And if you want to avoid a mistake, get your money into some apartments, because that is mistake number five, is not owning apartments. All right. And so that pretty much wraps up my top five. So I have covered, number one was investors not getting involved in investment real estate for reasons that they think prohibit them from being good at it and being profitable at it, which we've basically gone over, and that's really BS at the end of the day. So that's number one. Number two is property management. We talked about that and how you don't have to be a good property manager in order to be a profitable real estate investor. We talked about that. Number three was personal guarantees. We talked about that and staying away from those. Number four is not buying bigger, whether bigger individual properties, getting into an investment in a bigger way, etc. And number five, not buying apartments. You really, really, I honestly think, have to be an owner of an apartment property. The more, the better. All right. And so this covers my top five for the week. Hopefully some of this information has been helpful to you. It's giving you something to think about and can help you not only avoid some mistakes, but make some money along the way by avoiding those mistakes and getting involved in a great investment that will hopefully work out fantastic for you. Okay, so any thoughts, any questions? We'll talk about how you can get a hold of me here in just a minute and what you need to do. But have a great day, everybody, and have a great rest of your week. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining Darren Garman's Paranoid Banker Podcast. For investment questions, comments, or to get in touch with Darren, go to www.garmanblog.com.